بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are in this chapter in which it is discussed that there are many ways of doing good deeds, and many people reach Allah Ta'ala through different ways. And whichever way, if Allah has chosen for us, we must never think that is the only way and I'm the only one that is on the right. Other people, in different ways, they are also doing their things and reaching Allah Ta'ala. And Allah also has made it such that one person who is a great wali of Allah, he doesn't recognize another wali of Allah also. Because Allah has kept his wilayat in something else and that other person's wilayat in something else. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. Nobody knows, not a single person knows what Allah has hidden away of the sweetness and closeness of Allah Ta'ala of one another. So nobody knows. One person's wilayat might be in his tahajjud, du'as, etc. While another person's wilayat is in his social welfare work that he does. So the person making tahajjud, he will think that wilayat is, or if he is immature still, he'll think that I'm the only person because I make tahajjud, I make lot of ibadat. And he won't regard any people who are doing social welfare work, etc., as anything. And if that person who is doing social welfare work, he is also immature, he'll think I'm the biggest wali. I help out people, widows, orphans, people in catastrophes, earthquakes, floods. I go and help them. And these people are sitting in the comforts of their homes and making tahajjud. So nobody recognizes one another. So there are different ways, and a true person who has reached maturity will always fear whether I am accepted by Allah or not, and he'll appreciate the other people, and in fact he will give the wasta, the means of the other people. Oh Allah, by all the good that they are doing, accept me, make me also your favorite and close ones, make me also maqbool. That is the correct attitude, but that only comes when a person, even in striving in the path of Allah, when he reaches that point of maturity. But till he does not reach that, he is also like an immature person. So, this chapter and the hadith that we have read teaches us the various stages of reaching Allah Ta'ala. The hadith that we read, Hazrat Abu Zar, Jundub ibn Junada, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are the best of a'mal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to have iman and to make jihad. That is the highest level. The true iman, not just the words of iman, or not just that we have accepted. Like the Bedouins came and says, Qalu amanna, that we have brought iman. Allah Ta'ala said, don't say that we have brought iman, Qul aslamna. Walamma yadkhulil imanu fi qulubikum. And when the time comes and iman enters in your heart, then you have the right to say we have brought iman. When iman is just subtle, superficial, and we all have to check ourselves that how, whether our iman, whether it is settled in the heart or it is still just hovering above the heart. Like for example, what discovered when it came, how many of us, if there was iman, we should have followed the laws of Allah and His Rasul. But that we followed the laws of the government and the media and the scientists, that shows that iman on Allah was still not in the heart. So we have to check on that. So iman is a very great thing. Jihad we understand, because there we have to go out, our lives are at risk, our families becoming widows, children becoming orphans. There we fear all that. So that is the highest level. And then the lowest, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith explained that the lowest is, don't cause harm to other people. And that is also a great ibadat. A person who can't do any good, at least let him not cause harm to other people. Whether it is by his tongue, by his actions or whatever, we should not cause harm to other people. To make a lot of ibadat in Ramadan is a great virtue, and we should all strive for that. But for some people who can't just stay away from sin, For them, better is to sleep in Ramadan, even in the day. At least in that way, they are not causing harm to anyone. So we are taught that the recompense and reward is relative to the effort rendered. Those who work on the iman and bring the reality of iman is a very great effort, whether it is through dhikrullah or whatever, to bring the true reality of iman and to go for jihad. And on the other hand, the lowest level, at least you can't do any good, don't cause harm to anyone. So we should recognize those different stages. Then the second, another point, there is great reward in assisting those who are unable to do things for themselves. That is also mentioned in the hadith, one other way of achieving closeness to Allah. If a person can't make all the ibadat, etc., which is one of the easiest ways to reach Allah, at least if he can assist other people, especially old people, sickly people, people who are perhaps in financial need, people who are in need of any other solace, to console them, all that is also a great ibadat. So to help out other people, we should in fact look for those opportunities. We find in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the pious, they should make it their mission to look for people that we can assist. Today, unfortunately, our condition has come where we see assistance is required, we turn our eyes in the other direction. And we make as if we don't even know that these people are in need of assistance. And in fact, even if somebody comes to us for assistance, we are very quick to brand him as a fraud, as a person, as a beggar, etc. And we don't want to assist. Whereas the righteous and the pious should go out looking for people to assist them. One person who wanted to assist people went out at night with his money to give it to some needy person. He put it in somebody's hand quietly. The next morning the news spread in the town that a crook was given money. So he said, "Oho, I spent my money, I gave it in the wrong hand." But he was determined to help people. So he took his money the next night, other money, and he said, "I'll look for somebody." He put it in somebody's hands in the darkness of the night. In the morning, the news spread in the town that a prostitute was given money. He said, "Oh, where I spend my money again?" But he was still determined to spend his money in the right way. He went the third night with more money, and he put it in somebody's hand, and the third night, again, the next morning, the news spread again that a rich man was given money. And then that night after that, he saw a dream that all three nights his charity was accepted by Allah Ta'ala. The crook made tawbah that when Allah is giving me without me going to steal, Allah is giving me in a jayz and honorable way, why must I go and steal? So he made tawbah. The prostitute, she said that when Allah is giving me in this respectful and honorable way, why must I go and commit this great, great haram? And she made tawbah. And the rich man, he said that when somebody is giving me, it's a lesson for me that I must spend on other people. And so he also became generous. So like that, when we look for ways of doing goodness, even if we err in that, but only goodness comes out of it finally. Allah give us tawfiq. Iman in Allah is the foundation and prerequisite for the acceptance of all good actions. This is a very important point, whether we're doing social welfare work, whether we're making our ibadat, whatever, but check whether our iman is in place or not. If iman is not in place, nothing is accepted by Allah. There is acceptance, but just for dunya. In akhirat, no return for those good deeds. So if we lose our iman, or if our iman is not correct, and iman is not what we think is iman, iman is what is required by Allah Ta'ala. And we have to find out from the proper ulama that what is that iman which is required by Allah. And we must make sure that our iman corresponds to that. Otherwise, if we have a fake passport and we think I got a passport, we got a fake visa, and I'm happy I got a visa, but it won't be accepted. It must be a genuine. Our iman must also be genuine. Only with iman are all other amal accepted. So that is very important. We must be very concerned about our iman. Iman was instrumental in abolishing slavery. That year in this hadith we saw that when he asked which slave to set free is the best. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that slave that has got great qualities, good qualities, and you don't want to part from him. He's a very good slave and who is very expensive also. Such a slave you set free. So we find in many, many ahadith and for many occasions encouragement was given to set slaves free. He said, we must also understand Islam did not introduce slavery. Slavery was there long ago, all the time before Islam. Islam inherited slavery. It came into the Muslims also. And then Islam in various ways for this set free so many slaves. For that guna set free so many slaves. For this you have done set free so many slaves. All the time there was encouragement. So Islam worked in such a way that the people who were so used to slavery and they wouldn't just give it up, but Islam taught to set the slaves free. And in that way, Islam abolished slavery. This false accusation which is made by the Western people against Islam, that Islam encourages or Islam introduced slavery, is totally baseless and wrong and false. Islam came to abolish slavery. And we find, so finally, that did take place. And these very people who accused Islam of slavery in the 16th century, they took how many Africans from Africa to America and made them slaves there and treated them so terribly. Whereas in Islam it is taught, if you have a slave, feed him with the food you eat. Don't give him inferior food. Unfortunately, till today, our workers who work for us, we will eat very good food, we will give them the leftovers. Or we will give them just some little bread or something, while we are eating very food. Clothe them with the clothes you wear. So that quality of clothes. In other words, pay them also a salary that they can also live not only a decent way of life, but a good way of life. So much we should pay them. But unfortunately, it doesn't exist. And for a true Muslim, we don't need government regulations that minimum pay is so much, etc. Islam has taught us how we should treat them. And we find that if we're going to do that, how are we going to live? That is the wrong attitude. Just start doing it and see how much Allah gives you in return and how much you will be able to spend. The solution to the commands of Allah Ta'ala is not to think first that can I do it? How will it work out? The proper way is we start doing it. Even if it looks impossible, and then Allah opens the way. After all, iman is about believing in the unseen. So we don't see the solution, but we do what Allah has commanded us, the solution Allah will send. But we want to put the cart in front of the horse. In that way, the cart is not going to move at all. First, do what we are supposed to do, and then see the results. We want to see results first, and then we will do what we have to do. That is not the correct way. And that all shows the great weakness of our iman. And for that, effort of iman is absolutely essential. Inshallah, the Islahi Jalsa will take place from today at the Darul Room till Sunday. And all this is an effort to bring that reality of iman into us. We all should try to attend with an open heart to benefit and to learn. Not to go there to criticize or to find faults, etc. According to our intentions, according to that we will benefit. Some will only find fault and will find wrong things. And those who want to benefit will benefit tremendously. May Allah give us all the faith. Subhanallah.